You're listening to SBS News.
Queensland has recorded its deadliest day of the pandemic, with 24 people dying with COVID-19 in the latest reporting period. 16 of those deaths were aged care residents, but Chief Health Officer John Gerrard admits it is often hard to determine the role COVID has played in the deaths of elderly citizens.
We report anybody who has died who has had a recently positive COVID-19 test. Sometimes with the elderly who have multiple comorbidities, it is difficult to determine exactly what the cause of death is. But for the sake of transparency, we report anybody who has died who has had a recently positive COVID-19 test.
It comes as Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk announces the state has hit its 90% double vaccination target for those aged 16 and over.
Finally. It's taken a while, January and February, to get to that point, but I'm very excited that it's definitely now at the 90% double dose, and in fact it's 92.22% across Queensland with that first dose, and I'm so proud.
In New South Wales, the number of COVID-19 deaths remains stubbornly high, with the state reporting a further 20 fatalities on Wednesday. It comes as strict hospital visiting rules come under review, after families shared tragic stories of being forced to watch on from a distance when their loved ones died. Premier Dominic Perrottet has advised an announcement is coming regarding changes to these strict hospital visiting rules, and has apologised to all of the families who have been unable to spend time with dying relatives.
They're very difficult stories to hear and to appreciate the pain that someone would go through in losing a loved one and not being there to support them. So we will do whatever we can to provide greater support and greater guidance. I know we need to be cautious, but my view is compassion overrides caution in these instances.
Workers in the state's healthcare sector are also dissatisfied, with public hospital nurses announcing they will strike for the first time in almost a decade, amid rising frustrations over understaffing, pay and working conditions. Votes on industrial action are still underway in some branches, but the New South Wales Nurses and Midwives Association, which represents 48,000 nurses, says a majority have endorsed the industrial action. Thousands of nurses will strike for up to 24 hours next Tuesday, according to the union. When asked about the strikes, Mr. Perrottet announced he would much prefer to have a discussion with union leaders to address any grievances.
You know, last year we saw the head of unions New South Wales say, welcome to 2022, the year of rolling strikes in New South Wales. What I would say as Premier is that where there are issues that are reasonable, that we can work through, we will. But what I don't want to have in 2022 from the outset is unions playing politics. What I want is reasonable, robust discussions to get outcomes, not be in a situation where we see strikes over the course of 2022.
Yet the association's General Secretary, Brett Holmes, says Mr. Perrottet's office declined a meeting with the union and instead referred the issue to the Health Minister.
Clearly, Brad Hazzard as the Minister can't change the government's wages policy, and it takes the decision of the Premier and the Treasurer to address the issue of nurse-to-patient ratios. It really does require the intervention of the Premier to stop this constant refusal to even sit down and discuss the realities of what is needed in our health system.
Meanwhile, Tasmania has become the final jurisdiction to welcome students back to classrooms, but there are mixed sentiments about the return. A survey of members of the Australian Education Union Tasmania branch showed that just 1 in 5 teachers felt safe about returning to work. Branch Secretary David Genford says while retired educators had been called upon to help with potential staff shortages, there had been little response.
I definitely think our vulnerable members of our staff and those that care for vulnerable members, whether they be children, grandchildren or partners, don't want to catch COVID and want to be in an environment that gives them the greatest chance of being safe. So there's definitely some anxiety there because there's an acceptance that COVID will be in schools, and we want to make sure that there are precautions in place to really try and look after all of our staff.
In Western Australia, two rapid antigen tests will be provided to all domestic and international travellers into the state, to use on day 1 and day 7 of their quarantine. It comes as WA records 14 new cases, 11 of which were potentially infectious in the community. Health Minister Amber Jade Sanderson believes there is more community transmission than is being recorded, and that the state is expecting a very steep increase in the coming days. She says providing travellers with RAT tests will help ease the pressure on the state's PCR testing clinics and will be free of charge.
This is the RAT tests, which we saw the eastern states scrambling to put in place, particularly for essential workers and incoming travellers. We're rolling this out in a planned and methodical way so that they are at testing clinics around the regions as well as in the metropolitan area, and to help alleviate some of that pressure off PCR testing, which we still want people to use. But to help alleviate that pressure, we are allowing travellers to do RAT tests.
The health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Brooke Young, SBS News.